You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Biggest pet peeves, so the media would fly with us. So by the time we would get to the plane, and of course media there first, all the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches gone.
Our lunches.
They would raid all the food before we even got on the plane.
Who would steal 30 bag lunches?
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
I'll tell you who took those lunches. That damn Sasquatch.
On 98.7 ESPN.
That damn Sasquatch taking all the lunches. Or the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in Rick's case with the Islanders. Hour two on this Wednesday, it is DNR, Dan in for Dave, with Rick. 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776 is the telephone number. Opening day mañana, Mets Brewers, the powerhouse pitching matchup, Freddy Peralta, Jose Quintana. It's something you dream all winter for, to see two pitchers like that squaring off on opening day, on a cold, rainy day at Citi Field. And the Yankees will be down in Houston to take on the Astros. So it's interesting because, you know, we were just talking about this during the break. You think about, you know, we got into this whole thing about where the appetite is right now for the baseball fan in this city. The Mets schedule to begin the year, Rick, I don't know if you paid attention to this. Do you see, like, the opponents, their first homestand? It's Milwaukee. Then you got the Detroit Tigers coming in. Not exactly conventional rival type teams or even big box office draws. But the first four opponents that the Mets are going to see at Citi Field this year in April, Milwaukee, Detroit, Kansas City, and Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Does that not make you want to flock to the ballpark?
It excites me. It does.
Does it?
It does. No, of course not. But, I mean, this is just, I love baseball, though. So asking me that question is probably different. Now, I'm not running out to go to all these games. But if given the opportunity, it doesn't really matter. Right? I got three kids that love going to baseball games. So if it's Detroit, if it's Kansas City, whoever it ends up being, they're just happy to be there.
So you don't tell them that they're playing a garbage team. There's no point in going.
No. Because they're there for the atmosphere. Trying to get a foul ball. Sure, I'm going to have to buy a jersey or two or whatever. The food, hot dogs, you name it. They just like being at the ballpark. Which is the beauty of baseball.
It's the beauty of baseball. I don't disagree with you. But if you're a team in the market of entertainment, trying to sell tickets, you know, you have your diehard fans. They're going to be there already. You're trying to lump in the casual fan, and how do you attract those that maybe have the disposable income that they're going to be able to give to you and to make your revenue even greater? It's a tough sell nowadays, given where baseball is on the sports entertainment landscape, that the first, you know, month, 6 weeks of the season, it's a tough draw to pack the ballparks. When kids are still in school, the weather is crummy, especially in, you know, the Northeast. And then when you have a schedule like that and opponents like that, it doesn't exactly scream, hey, I have to be there.
No, it doesn't. It absolutely doesn't. But, I mean, the people that are the diehard baseball fans will go. And then you just hope that the other ones will be paying attention and watching on television. But Stevie Cohen told you, listen, that retractable roof, not going to do it. It's too expensive. Not going to do it.
See, I'm one of these people though with baseball. Like, I almost don't even need. I don't want a roof, even if it's retractable. I don't.
Why?
Why? Well, because you know what? Baseball. It's an outdoor game, and if it's raining outside, we're not playing. I don't want to be playing indoor baseball. That's not what it's about. We're not in Japan. It's not a dome. I've never been a fan of it. I don't like indoor football. I hate it. Sports are meant to be played outside. If you're talking about football and baseball,
well, football you can play outside in the rain, in the elements. Baseball, you can't.
Right. Like, it drives me crazy. Like, the Buffalo Bills, for example. You know, Buffalo Bills are going to put a retractable roof on their stadium. You're talking about the new place that the Chicago Bears are going to build. Retractable roof. Those are, like, essential places that as a football fan, like, you look for the elements in places like that. That's part of a home field advantage. And now it's just like it's softening it all up. That's all it is.
Right, but you also don't want your fans to have to, you know, have their fingers and toes amputated because it's so cold.
Well, that's an anomaly. That happens only once in a blue moon.
It happened, though.
No, but it happened once, you know.
Listen, I agree with you as far as it's your
now, they don't have to play the games at 9 o'clock at night either when it's even colder. You know, you can play it during the day if you're going to have brutal conditions.
Like, yeah, having Josh Allen for the Buffalo Bills, who is not affected by the elements, is a huge advantage.
Right.
Especially when you're playing a team like, say, Miami has to come out and play in the cold or in the snow or whatever it ends up being. But you're also trying to make the fan experience enjoyable.
You know what's funny, too, and on the roof thing, like you said, with the Mets and Steve Cohen, and it is, it's a lot of money. I get it. And that's Steve Cohen's answer about the, you know, they're not going to put a retractable roof on Citi Field. But as he says that, you look right across the street at the tennis center, and what do they do at Arthur Ashe Stadium? They put a retractable roof on it. And they put it on even after the place was already up and running for a good number of years. And the U.S. Open and the tennis center, they use that for 2 weeks a year, essentially.
But that's why they did it, though, because there's a finite amount of time to get the tennis matches in.
But as far as revenue, though, they only have a couple of weeks to make it. Like the Mets and City, like that's an opportunity that they got more money coming in more throughout the year than they do over at the tennis center. And I love the tennis. Don't get me wrong. You know that.
Of course I know that. But you just said it. Right. I mean, you got 162 of these things. The game gets postponed. They'll find a way to make it up, and you're still going to get the game.
But think about it. You could do concerts, you know, in the wintertime if you got the roof and all those other things. So you make the money back, you would think. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know how much it's going to cost.
Especially with all the things that they plan on doing around Citi Field. But I'm just telling you what he said.
That is going to be, if they go ahead with that, right, building all the housing, the casinos, the soccer stadium that they're talking about for the NYCFC. Can you imagine during the construction of all that, if you do wanted to go to like a Mets game during that time, it is going to be a nightmare.
Nightmare.
A nightmare.
An absolute nightmare. Can I also ask you a question money-wise?
Sure.
Couldn't scrape a few pennies together to get Jordan Montgomery for what he just signed for?
Well, it's funny. RJ and I were talking about this, our big pre-show meeting that happens way too early in the morning. If you would have went back to December and said you could sign Jordan Montgomery for 1 year and $25 million. Any team would have did that. The Kansas City Royals would have been on the phone and be like, hey, man, 1 year, 25, we got you. Just sign on the dotted line. And that's ultimately what they signed for. It's just crazy. And you said it yesterday, too, the whole, you know, the specter of Scott Boras and how that might be changing. But think about that. And good for the Arizona Diamondbacks. You know, that pitching rotation, now that starting staff is one of the best in baseball on paper. Eduardo Rodriguez went down, who they signed in the offseason, so you replace him with another lefty, a guy who's got championship medal. But it's crazy what these guys are settling for. And you know, here's the crummy part if you're Montgomery, right? God forbid. Let's say he suffers an injury this year, that he's going to have surgery. And it's going to knock him out for all of next season. That's 2 years of the prime of his career that when he's able to get back in it from a free agent standpoint and find a new team, he might not sign a contract anywhere close to $25 million a year.
No, but I think it's part of the holdup, though, too, when you're trying to get these deals done, is that they're saying to themselves, Snell for sure, and Montgomery, I mean, guys pitch well in the playoffs, wins a World Series, at what point is he going to be more attractive in the open market? Like, this should be as attractive as he gets, so this is the time to get his big bag of money. Both of these guys, Snell coming off his second Cy Young. I think the problem with what happened with these two players is, I think what Boras told them they should expect to get ended up clouding their actual judgment of what they were probably going to be worth.
Right.
Right? Like, if you tell someone they're worth $270 million and the offer that comes in is $150, you're almost like, no. Scott Boras told me I was going to get $270. It's disrespectful to offer me $150. So I'll wait. And then I'll continue to wait. And I'll wait. And then you realize, well, season's starting, and I don't have any money, and I don't have a job right now. So, hey, probably should sign something somewhere and see if I can't, you know, have a really good season and hit the market again.
I actually think that the 1 year, like, if you would have told me that's how it would have played out at the beginning of the offseason, I think that type of a deal, that type of a contract would have suited the Yankees more than the Mets for Jordan Montgomery. Because the Yankees, you look at it, as we said, going all in on this season, right? You don't know if you're going to have Soto. Now, especially with Cole banged up, and you don't know what you're going to get from him, not having to make a long-term commitment, That 1 year, $25 million for Montgomery would have fit them perfectly. Mets, on the other hand, they're still looking with eyes down the road. You know, next year is going to be their big year where they go for it. I would have taken Montgomery there to slide him into the middle of the rotation, but on a I would have been fine with that on a multi-year deal because you figure that he's not going to you're not going to have to pay him like an ace. He's not going to be your ace. And the Mets have designs of being a juggernaut for the next several seasons beginning next year. But for the Yankees, you're trying to win a championship this season. You got Juan Soto here, only guaranteed for a season. Montgomery would have helped that rotation, especially with all the question marks that you have tied to it.
All right, I don't know what the relationship is between Jordan Montgomery and the Yankees.
It's frayed a little bit.
Right.
It's
well,
frayed.
That's the only reason I didn't mention the Yankees. The attractive part of Jordan Montgomery was there were no draft picks attached to Jordan Montgomery. I mean, there were a couple draft picks attached to Blake Snell, and then penalties with the international. There was other stuff involved with the Blake Snell signing.
Right.
But I'm just like, for the Mets, you told us there was going to be a plan, and I think for the most part, you weren't happy about it, but there were a lot of people that are, hey, it's David Stern's first year. He's really good at what he does, so we'll buy into the plan. And I told you the other day, like, I could understand the, hey, we don't want to bring it to J.D. Martinez because he's strictly a DH. We don't want to take at bats away from Vientos. You know what I mean? I could get that because we want to see what our young players could do. Well, once you lose Senga, signing Jordan Montgomery for me never would have affected the plan moving forward. You're going to need starting pitching. Like, you have Quintana, free agent. Severino, free agent. Adrian Hauser, free agent. Mania can opt out. Like, you're still going to need starting pitching, and signing, especially at the number that Jordan Montgomery just got, is not going to affect your long-term plan moving forward. And what when Senga comes back, you're probably going to need a six-man rotation anyway.
Right. If you're going to keep him on that schedule that you tried to get him used to last year with the way they do it in Japan. And the difference, too, between Montgomery and Snell. I understand if you compare the two pitchers, right? Snell's ceiling is higher, but I think Jordan Montgomery might even be more consistent. He's certainly more durable than Blake Snell is, right?
Well, so you've seen him pitch in New York.
Absolutely.
And you've also seen him have success in the postseason.
I've never been a Snell guy. Never. And I'm not just jumping on the bandwagon now because of what happened in the... I don't care about the Cy Youngs. You can take the Cy Youngs and shove them up your you-know-what. I've never been a Snell guy. He's had two good seasons. Other than that, forget it. And that's why I think a lot of teams smartened up on that. And that's why they didn't pay him what Scott Boras and he were asking for. So let him go out there and pitch the season. If he has a good year... Giants, he opts out. Fantastic. And then go hit the market again next year and try to get your riches then. But good luck. Good luck.
Let me ask you this, though. Seriously, like, J.D. Martinez, I know you loved it. Everyone's been screaming to sign J.D. Martinez. They did. Listen, give him credit. I mean, they waited it out, got him for, I mean, the deal that they got him on was a great deal for the Mets. If they did add Jordan Montgomery to this team, what is it?
I'd want him on a multi-year deal, like I said.
No, I'm not even saying that. I'm not even saying the numbers, years, anything. But if you added J.D. Martinez, if you add Montgomery now to this rotation, what do you think the Mets' ceiling is?
Wild card.
Right, I think I still think they have a chance to be a wild card team.
Oh, they do. I think they do too.
But if you had Montgomery now with that lineup, and at least there's no, like, Severino is low risk, high reward. Right, if this was just as simple as, hey, he was tipping his pitches, we know, like, he still has really good stuff. But he was throwing batting practice last year.
No, he was the self-proclaimed worst pitcher in baseball. During the season last year, he stood at his locker and said, I'm the worst pitcher in baseball right now.
Right. Mania spent most of his season last year in the bullpen. Like, you're taking a flyer on four good starts that you saw at the end of the season.
Right. Like, well, he found a sweeper. Sweeper was in the bullpen the whole time. He found it.
Great. So he found it. I mean, Montgomery would be, I mean, right now with no Senga, Montgomery would be the ace of the staff right now with no Senga.
Can I tell you something right now? And I know they haven't even played a game yet, but I'm prepared to say this. Can I tell you?
Yep.
All right. Because I trust you.
Well, we're teammates.
Right. I'm a big Dave Stearns guy.
I know.
I'm a big Dave Stearns guy. I like the way he's going about his business. He's not getting swallowed up by all the fan pressure and the media to do this, do that, spend Steve Cohen's money. They're going about this thing methodically. And I love what he did this offseason as far as building this roster and fortifying whatever, somewhat the holes that they had, but not getting sucked into bad contracts that are going to weigh this team down for the future, like you're seeing on the payroll this year with guys like Scherzer and Verlander that are not even on the team anymore. And the thing is this, a wise man once said, Rick, there's no bad one-year deals. There are no bad one-year deals. And look at this team right now, especially with the pitchers or whatever. If the guys don't hit, boom, they're gone at the end of the year anyways. They're gone.
Right, but I think if you, and again, I understand the other stuff involved, right, with signing someone like Jordan Montgomery. You're going to have to pay him 110% because where we're at with the competitive balance tax. But still, like our – I said this to you earlier in the show about the Yankees, right? Like every team has something that they do really well, right? And for the Yankees, for a long time, it was the evil empire. They could just outspend you.
Right.
And now we've kind of become that. Steve Cohen is supposed to be that. We can outspend you. Like it's not about – like I don't want to trade players because we're still trying to build our – that was the whole – you know, why we threw flowers at him last year. It's just money. Like, this wasn't working out, so we pivoted. Now we could get rid of Scherzer and Verlander with money attached, because for him, that money was already spent, and we'll fortify our minor league system. I love that. But this is, again, one of those things where it's, I'm not asking you to go out and trade for somebody and give away the prospects that you're trying to accumulate. This is a money thing. There's no draft picks attached to this, and I don't think it affects your long-term plan. And you can actually give yourself a better opportunity this year to be a playoff team and appease your fan base just for money. But, I mean, they must have thought to themselves paying him, you know, whatever it would end up being, so 25, 50, whatever million for the season, wasn't going to give them enough to make that worth it.
You know what it is, too, the old saying, yesterday's price is not today's price. You weren't getting these guys 4 months ago for 1 year and $25 million. You know what I mean? Because they were holding out.
No, I'm saying now.
Oh, right now.
I'm not saying earlier. I'm saying this is one of those ones where it's like, yeah, I can get it for a long-term deal, whatever he was asking. No way. I understand that because there's, you know, guys you've identified this upcoming offseason that are better options that you want to throw a ton
of money
at.
Well, that's why I'm glad that they
struck. Price went up.
That's right. But
yesterday's price is not today's price.
And that's why I'm glad they even settled on J.D. Martinez. Let's face it. He came back to them, and they were able to strike and get that guy in the middle of their lineup. That's a big move.
No, I understand it, but if you're the team that has the most money and all of a sudden now you have the ability to take advantage of a depressed market for a player like Jordan Montgomery, why not do it?
I hear you, but you know what? That didn't work out for them last year when they went all in and it blew up in their face. And they're still paying the credit card bill, unfortunately, and that's why you had...
Yeah, but there's no... But what I'm saying, there would be no credit bill. Like, so when the retained money from Scherzer and Verlander comes off the books, which is what they're waiting for, this is why we have this gap year that we're calling it.
Right.
You could have done a one-year deal with Montgomery. Give him 30. Yeah, it's going to cost you 60, but still, I thought money wasn't a problem.
I hear what you're saying.
And then you move off, and then you can go after the, you know, big-time free agents that you're looking to go get.
Well, I'll tell you what else I think is happening with the Mets. We got to get to a break, and we'll get the phone calls up here at 800-919-3776. Mets, Yankees, baseball. The other thing that really has not been talked about a lot as far as the Met angle is concerned, they're really high on these pitchers in the minor leagues, these starting pitchers. We saw them a little bit in spring training this year. The Scotts, the Hamels, Vassals, guys like that. They think that a couple of them might even be rotation guys for them as soon as next year. So that's probably another reason why they didn't want to go too long. And I hear what you're saying about the one-year deal for Montgomery, but who knows? Could one of these guys be making a cameo at some point at Citi Field this summer? You can't rule it out. You can't rule it out. DNR on this Wednesday. 98.7 ESPN. London Jewelers is hosting their annual wedding band event from Thursday, April 4th through Sunday, April the 7th. All wedding bands are 20% off. Brand exclusions may apply. The 2x London Wedding Band Collection is something for every style and budget. Come in or call for an appointment at any of their locations. Americana Manhasset, Wheatley Plaza, Glen Cove, East Hampton, Southampton, Westfield World Trade Center, and the Mall at Short Hills, where you can enter for a chance to win an all-inclusive 5-day, 4-night honeymoon for two at any Sandals Resort. The best deals are at London Jewelers from April 4th to April 7th.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
You know where I'm going, Ray. Classic. Classic.
Ozzy and the Straw.
That's right. Dan and Rick, DNR, 98.7 ESPN. We are talking baseball. Opening day, mañana. Yankees in Houston. Mets hosting Milwaukee, weather permitting, over at Citi Field. Let's get these phone calls up here, Richard. A lot of people want to chime in. Let us say hi to Steve in Chappaqua up next on 98.7. Stevie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm great. Thanks for taking the call. I think, Dan, you mentioned that if we don't have a healthy Cole for most of the year, it's pretty much over for the Yankees. I go back to last year only. Jacob deGrom was the ace, the number one starter for the Texas Rangers, went down in spring training. And what did they do? They pulled together and won the World Series. So no excuses for the Yankees, my friend. No excuses.
Steve, you're right. But here's one thing, though. What did Texas have? Texas had a lethal offense. They had a Hall of Fame manager. And look, I think the Yankees' best recipe to be successful this year and to get back to the playoffs, it's almost going to have to be the way they did it back in the day. They're going to have to club people. And that's incumbent upon them staying healthy offensively. If they're healthy, they're going to score a ton of runs. We all know that.
Yeah. Yeah, the season is not lost. I agree. And I think Soto's going to be amazing. And I hope he hears all the cheers and wants to stay put.
Steve, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. And Rick, look, we always talk about the importance of starting pitching. And it would be great to have. Right? It's great to have it. But to Steve's point, yeah, you can find ways to win without it. Because last year, and I bring this point up a lot, the two teams, forget about the Texas Rangers, the other team in the World Series, the Arizona Diamondbacks, both of them respectively, starting pitching ERA, they were something like 18 and 20th in all of Major League Baseball.
Right. But I think, I mean, listen, as far as what the Yankees are trying to accomplish this season, do I think they can manage the first couple months of the season without Gerrit Cole? I absolutely do, because I think the offense is going to be that good if it stays healthy. But I also think once you get to the postseason, if there is no Gerrit Cole, you're not going to win a World Series. And you got to remember, too, when you point to Texas, like, look what Eovaldi does in the postseason. Jordan Montgomery pitched really well in the postseason. Some of the offensive players for them, Seager, Garcia, what they did in the postseason. The other problem with the Yankees is the problem with the Yankees hasn't been the pitching in the postseason. It's been the hitting.
Right.
And Aaron Judge has not been Aaron Judge in the postseason. So, I mean, could they without Gerrit Cole? I don't think so. But if you get the Aaron Judge that we're normally seeing during the regular season in the postseason, and then you're going to get Juan Soto. Like, there are plenty of things to point to this season that should be really good for the Yankees. I just think the level of excitement has been tapered down because people recognize the sense of urgency for the season with all the unknowns, and not having Gerrit Cole and having the uncertainty surrounding Gerrit Cole. I mean, I understand it too. It's kind of like a wet blanket on what's supposed to be a World Series or a bust kind of season.
And I know that it's a conversation for way down the road. I mean, obviously you got to get there first, right? But, you know, in the postseason, nowadays in baseball, it's almost more important to have a deep bullpen as opposed to a deep starting rotation. Because the way guys manage now, and so much of it is based heavily on analytics and computers, that in the postseason, you can have a starting pitcher go out there, a conventional starting pitcher. First sign of trouble, managers coming to get him and getting them hell out of the game. Nobody's allowed to face a lineup three times through anyway. And it's all about how you mix and match with your bullpen. That's what it's all about in the play. The teams that go deep in the postseason win World Series. It's about having a deep bullpen and a lot of matchup options for your skipper. Because, look, in the playoffs, Rick, there's no more such thing as starter and reliever. You just have pitchers. Because they'll put starters in the bullpen. They'll bring a guy out who just started the two games ago and have him come out and pitch two innings for you if you need to get six outs. Right? So, I mean, that's what you have to have. You have to have depth in arms once you get to October. It's, you know, in the regular season, it's about just finding ways to get there. But once you get to the playoffs, you just got to have a multitude of options to be able to get through nine innings.
Right, but I think the beauty of having someone like Gerrit Cole is because the risk you run when you start doing that, right? If you're too quick to go pull your starting pitcher and all of a sudden now you're trying to manage your bullpen is hoping that everyone that you bring out of the bullpen has a good day, right? And you're just increasing your odds that they don't because you're bringing so many arms out of the bullpen. When you have someone like Gerrit Cole that you trust that is adverse to analytics sometimes, right, because he's just that good and you trust him, then you're relying less on how many arms you're going to have to bring out of that bullpen.
But you're only asking, in most cases, you're only asking for those guys to get you no more than three outs, right? So, like, the leash is going to be short, that if they just don't have it, boom, they're gone, right? No, and you can live to see another day.
I get it, and I understand where we are with Major League Baseball, and the Yankees have, for the most part, done a really good job with their bullpen, and it's been the hitting. But I have a hard time believing that the Yankees make their way through 162 games and then to the World Series without Gerrit Cole. And Gerrit Cole pitching like Gerrit Cole can pitch.
Let's say hi to Wes in East Hanover. He is up next. Wesley, good morning, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well, fellas, and good morning. Good morning, all your listeners. You know, so baseball, I love. Tomorrow is actually the day I'm most excited for. I don't really get excited on the eve, but I do love going to games. So this is why I actually chimed in, as you were talking about how many people are excited about going. When it comes this early in the season, the weather can be such a factor with rain, with cold, that I try to go to as many games as early in the season because the crowds are not as big, but I wait until the last minute to get my tickets because I'm always afraid that Braves come into town, I'm going to pick the Friday game, and the rain is going to come on Friday, but I can't go Saturday or Sunday. So I'm always a little late to it, so I like the secondary market for that. So I don't know about you guys, but there's nothing worse than sitting at a baseball game freezing cold with the slow pace of the game and all of that. Football, it's a little different. It's not great, but there's less action in the baseball game when it's cold, so I just try to play it by ear a couple days before, personally.
There's nothing worse than playing in those conditions as a baseball player, too, by the way.
You're right. I remember, and I'll make this story quick. I remember in high school, we were playing in a game in Alabama. It was 35 degrees in March, and they pulled the bus up to the field so that the families could sit in the bus and watch.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like, what are we doing? Why are we even playing this game? It's pointless. So playing in the cold is the worst, so I can only imagine for the player. So appreciate you guys taking the call. Dan, good for you filling in, and we will talk to you guys soon.
Wes, appreciate you, man. And I was just looking it up because Wes is a Braves fan, and I was checking it out. The Braves open up in Philadelphia. Like, I hate that. You know, because, like, those two teams, like, look, they're going to be duking it out for the NL East this year.
Yeah.
Why waste one of the series, the first three games or whatever the season, when the weather is just, like, god-awful?
Right, well, that speaks to my point. And this is why I would make the argument that
But those are big games, too. You know what I mean? And the fans would normally flock for those.
Okay, but again, you're making my point for me and why I think it's ridiculous when you say it's an outdoor sport, you shouldn't have a retractable roof. Think about how fundamentally stupid it is for a sport where you start off in Arizona and in Florida in beautiful weather, and then you come up north to awful weather. And what it means for whatever your favorite team is to get off to a good start and your players to get off to a good start.
Oh, you suck it up.
Well, you suck it up. Well, it's hard to play in conditions like that. Do I need to see a guy playing in Detroit with a freaking winter hat over his face, freezing his butt off?
No, but it's only a small sample size.
But the end of the season, too. So the two most important parts of the season, the beginning to get off to a good start, and the end when you're trying to win a World Series, there's a chance that the weather's awful.
Well, that's home field advantage. But we were talking about it the other day, though. The weather in October is better than it is in March, for crying out loud. It might be March and April, at least it seems like.
Well, you
around
don't know
here,
that, though. Yeah, but you don't know that. Why not just eliminate that? And give your players the best chance to have success. I don't care if you live in the Northeast, play in the Northeast, no one wants to play baseball in 40 degrees. It's not conducive to performance, to good performance.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Now, a little birdie told me, Rick, during the break, that normally with the stump segment, you like to throw a question in there, and today you're not going to be throwing a question in. Why is that?
Well, no, I was asked, because I'm supposed to be, this is a Dan Grasso and Friends vehicle today.
Right, so. And you are friend.
Right, helping
a very important friend.
I don't usually help Dave answer the question, so I'll ask him a question. But if you'd like me to ask you a question, I do have a question.
If it can promote the dialogue between the two of us, why the hell not? Any well, chance to talk to you in that regard, I am more than happy to accommodate.
If I'm being honest,
yeah.
Monday, good. Tuesday, good. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, you've kind of turned me off a little bit.
Why is that?
Well, your whole, the anti-oatmeal stuff.
Well, I'm not an oatmeal guy, but that shouldn't affect our friendship.
And the negativity that you're throwing my way is gross.
Well, let me ask you a question. If you and I went out to break bread, which never happens because you're too good for it.
No, don't say that.
Or whoever you go out with, whether it be a family member, a friend, an associate, whatever, somebody maybe you don't even know. Do you have to order and eat the same thing as the other person does?
No, but I don't disparage whatever they order. Right?
It's not that I disparage oatmeal. I just disparage oatmeal right before playing a professional hockey game.
It's 3 hours before the game.
It's still before the game.
Maybe 4 hours. It gives you the proper kind of carbohydrate burn that you need. Okay, that's one. Two, your retractable roof take is maybe your worst take ever.
Why?
It disgusts me.
Because I can deal with the elements? That's why?
Well, no. The sport can't be played in those elements. The baseball players don't want to be playing in those elements.
It has forever. How do you know? It has forever.
Well, how do I know?
It's an outdoor game.
That's fine, but it doesn't have to be.
You know why? Because you become so jaded. You know, because you live over there in your palatial estate and, you know, with the kids, they're playing. They have the indoor facilities during the winter to play baseball and all this. I didn't have that growing up. You had to go out there. Do you realize it was so cold when we used to play baseball, like in March and April, like back in the day? Like, you just sucked it up. You put on an extra layer, sweatshirt. That's all. I remember I was taking batting practice once.
Oh, God. And this is Little League batting practice?
That's correct. Can I tell the story?
Okay.
And I got a stinger so bad. I think it was the first time I ever experienced one of those, like a stinger. I was maybe 10 years old. I almost retired that day right there and then because it was so bad. I thought I would never be able to feel my hands again. Almost walked away from the game for life at that moment. But I persevered.
Right. So you remember this. This is something that stuck with you for 35 years.
That's correct.
And you almost quit the sport.
Almost quit.
And yet you want to continue to play in the elements.
That's right, because it was more rewarding playing in the elements than once. Because that was temporary. It was a temporary thing.
Yeah. And I'm sure little Danny was real productive in those elements.
You're damn right.
Yeah, as he's crying. Like, Mom, I want to quit because I got a stinger. Be soft.
I still even continued BP. I think
what Major League Baseball player too wants to show up, sit around for 5 hours, game gets canceled, and then you get one of his days off taken away?
Oh, pobrecito. Oh, $50 million a year. It's raining a little bit. Oh, no. I got to sit up. It's raining. I'll have some oatmeal, maybe some peanut butter and jelly while I wait out the rain.
Are you serious?
You just brought back a story when little Danny was 10 years old in the Little League to try to compare to what the Major League Baseball
players I'm not getting $50 million a year.
Yeah, right, and expected to perform at a high level.
You're talking about rain? Rain? That's what's going to stop you here? Rain? Oh, Ray, do you believe this? Oh, the baseball players
on my
have
side.
Not sit out rain.
I'm not the person you should ask for backup on this.
Attack him, Raymond.
I could not disagree with you more on this.
This is
ridiculous. And you're using yourself as a child and how you had to suffer. You sound like an old man right now. You sound like an old man. In my day,
I'm giving you examples of how I persevered. I came through.
It's time for the game to
evolve.
These
are life lessons, damn it.
It's time for the game to evolve. That's why baseball's in the hole that it's in over the last however many years, because it doesn't want to evolve.
And RJ's got my back. RJ grew up in a climate up in Rochester where it's frigid. It's basically, it gets to a high of maybe like 65 in the summer, for crying out loud. You understand what I'm talking about, right? I mean, the elements, it's just part of what it is.
Yeah, the elements are part of what it was. You don't think it's time to...
No.
Here's my biggest beef. Mine is not with the cold. Do I like sitting in the cold watching baseball? No. You sit in the cold, you watch football. It's kind of, like you brought that up. It's kind of a one-off. Mentally you get up for that. You shouldn't have, you know, appendages amputated like in Kansas City. That's crazy. But for baseball, where they play every day and you want to go to games, it's wild to me that in the year 2024, when water falls from the sky, we can't figure out how to continue playing. It's hard for me. Listen, I the aesthetic of it, like you go to Yankee Stadium or Citi Field, and the blue sky on a July night.
Yeah.
It's perfect. But you can still have that with a retractable roof.
I'll tell you where I did get chapped a little bit.
Oh, God.
I was very early on in this.
Pobrecito. Oh. golf.
So I didn't have – I had, like, no money. And I remember I went to a Met-Yankee game at Yankee Stadium. As a matter of fact, I think Kay might have actually been the one to get me tickets. This was, like, 20 years ago. Friday night, Subway Series. Paid for parking in one of those lots, you know, by the stadium, which, you know, it had to be at least, like, $20, $25, which, you know, that was a lot at the time, right? Get in the ballpark, game gets rained out. Long delay, game gets rained out. And then I find out, well, whenever they, I forgot whenever they were going to make up the game or whatever, but then the money you paid for parking wasn't refunded to you. So you were out for the parking money. And then when he came back for the makeup game, you had to pay for parking again. You might as well, like, to me, that was like a small fortune.
Yeah, right. What about the couple cocktails that you had as you sat there and waited?
I don't know if I had the car. I don't remember what I had. I don't remember how long we were there before they called the game.
See, I think that changes with age, too. Like, when I was in my 20s, if I was going to a game on a Friday or Saturday, and it was raining, and they're still serving burgers, and they're still serving beers, worst-case scenario, okay, maybe it gets rained out, you paid for overpriced beers, still got to hang out with your buddies. When you get a little older, and it's more of an outing, or if you take kids, or if you take off of work, and it's hard to reschedule all those things, again, because water was falling from the sky... That's tough.
Look, I understand the points you're making, and they're valid points. I'm talking about from a personal side of preference. I enjoy the elements. I don't mind sitting out there when I was going to games and say, that's what I grew up doing. I don't mind it. But yes, has the world evolved? Yes, I'm with you. But this is just me personally, what I still would prefer and even to watch on television, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, but you're not losing the ability to have that. There were people that enjoyed riding horse and buggies to work, but now that they have cars, they're much happier.
Well, the same people that are riding in cars aren't the same people riding horse and buggies to work, because they didn't outlive
Well, who
that,
knows with how you grew know. Up.
I got to tell you, I was driving the other day, got stuck behind a horse. Why are the horses out
That's
there?
One of the most
Well, he's talking about, like,
things.
The stagecoach people.
No, I understand
like, those
no,
people
no,
now would
no.
be 110.
I understand that. But, one, it's dangerous for the horses. Two, they cannot possibly keep up with the speed parameters.
Wasn't, like, Liam Neeson the guy who was, like, really outspoken about getting rid of, like, the horse and buggy people in New York
Rightfully
City?
Rightfully so. I mean, aside from the fact that all it does is get in the way, it's not good for the horses.
No, it's awful. It's mistreatment
Raymond,
of animals.
Raymond has a horse abuse whistle.
That's right. PETA somehow got my address here, and a letter addressed to me at the station has a whistle from PETA that I'm supposed to blow when I see an animal being abused, like a horse in a carriage.
You have a horse whistle?
A horse whistle right
wait,
here
wait
on
a second.
These premises.
You have it on you right now?
It's in one of the lockers here. I can go,
go
grab
get
it. For
go
you.
Get it now. What are we doing? We're talking about rain.
What am I going to do? Blow it into
yes,
the microphone?
Yes, I want to hear this.
No, it's a whistle.
Rick, have you ever heard this?
It's a basic whistle.
I have seen it. I haven't heard him blow it.
Blow the whistle!
Blow it, Ray.
Oh, my God. Like this should have, like, led the show. We're almost, like, 2 hours in. He's got a horse whistle. This is, like, the greatest thing that's happened all week, maybe all month.
Wow, you think very little of our show.
It's not that I don't think little of the show, but this is gold. RJ.
It's Wednesday.
RJ.
It's the greatest thing that's happened all week.
RJ.
That Ray has a horse whistle.
I've lived 4 decades on this planet. I've never met one person with a horse whistle. This is like waking up and hitting the lottery. This is something like, you know, you say you learn something new every day. This is literally something you're learning new and experiencing new.
Ricky thinks very little of us.
A very little of the show. Doesn't believe in anything that we do. He's more, well, Raymond, get the whistle for this poor guy.
Let me see this. Oh, my gosh.
He's got it.
So what is it? Wait, so is Ray almost like a horse cop or something? Like, what is he supposed to do now? It's like if you get the exit rows on the plane, like you have a duty. If the plane goes down, like you have to assist.
I'm not sure what it's supposed to accomplish.
But what? Yeah, like what?
So, yeah, it's got a PETA, the PETA logo and a horse head on it. And on the other side, it says report horse abuse. 706 whistle.
Blow it. Let me see what it sounds like.
It's a whistle. We're going to blow a whistle into a microphone.
Why? Or stand back from it. Just blow it. That's great. Oh, that is awesome. And I can't believe you just threw that in the locker. I hope
what, was I
from...
supposed to, what was I supposed to do
What was he supposed to wear it on his neck and walk the streets with it?
You want him to go on patrol?
It's responsibility.
Hey, you, driving that horse carriage.
Dude. You know how lucky you are that, like, somebody from PETA just didn't do, like, a random checkup? Like, they have their database of the people they send the whistles to. They could have came here. There's like, Raymond Santiago, ESPN Radio. Anybody just did the surprise pop-in and seen if you were putting the whistle to use.
I still don't understand why this was sent to me. I think back in the day I was in charge of the public affairs program, but I don't think I ever did any features on animal abuse. Not a thing.
Yeah, but that might be it, though.
You got nice lips.
Are you going to make a citizen's horse arrest?
Yeah, citizen's horse arrest.
No, it's the guy who's riding the horse. He's done. He's finished. I'm surprised that you're not more geeked up over this.
Well, I already knew about the whistle.
It's been here for like 2 years.
Right. I don't understand what the whistle's supposed to do. Like, I mean,
what does it accomplish?
Right. Who's coming running when he blows that whistle?
I think you should just use it on the air. Like, if a segment's getting out of control, imagine, you blow the whistle.
This is literally the first time I've used this thing. It was in a little plastic bag this entire time. Imagine like me blowing it, like set off some sort of bat signal, and now they're on their way here. I have no idea.
This is fantastic.
I could be in real trouble right now, and I have no idea.
I am so glad I can help you unearth the horse whistle. If I contribute anything to this week, it's the advent of the horse whistle.
Yeah, but it doesn't even sound like a different kind of whistle.
That's what I'm a little disappointed about.
It's just like, a whistle.
Ed Hockley could be using this whistle for all they know.
Right. Like if it was like this, like only the horses could hear it and realize that, I think I'm getting abused right now.
Right,
and
like the dog whistles, like the real right. Silent thing, yeah.
Or the host becomes so sentient and aware.
Something, yeah.
What does the PETA logo look like, by the way? And is it anything special?
It's just a word mark.
Nice.
God, dude.
That
Raymond,
is awesome.
Raymond, give Grasso the whistle.
No, I'm not using that. Get the hell out of here.
That's what the PETA logo is. What do you think?
It sounds like Dan wants to blow it.
Me? Nah.
Try it out.
No, thank you.
Come on.
You could soak that thing in cleaner for 4 years, and I still wouldn't put my mouth on that thing.
Why? Raymond's clean.
I know, and he's a dear friend. I don't venture into those waters.
Really?
That's right.
I've never seen you more excited in my entire life.
That's awkward.
Not to use it.
Why are you so excited about this whistle, you think?
I don't know.
Didn't just get a thrill out of that?
I've never seen him so jacked up for something.
Well, because I don't know anybody ever.
Known this guy for 15, 16
right.
years.
And you know what? Even longer than that, I did not even know there was such a thing as a horse whistle and that they give these out to random people.
He's one of the few that was selected because he's so honorable.
When's our next game? We got a game tonight. I'm going to mention that during the post-game show tonight. Raymond Santiago, please, the horse whistler.
Please don't.
Rick, you want me to?
If you do that, yes, please. Please.
And we'll play it in the morning. Tomorrow morning, we're going to play it. Coordinating producer of Knicks basketball, yes. The horse whistler, Raymond Santiago.
I love it.
Do you want horse whistler before or after your name?
I might take your name off the schedule is what I might end up doing.
You know what? It might be worth it. Like, if you're going down in flames, it might as well be worth it because that's something that'll live on.
Raymond, maybe we get you like an outfit to wear.
What?
Like some kind of like, yeah, I don't boots, know, something that looks professional. Yeah, like if you're going to be the horse whistler, like maybe have, like
what
this outfit.
What do they call the horse boots that the riders wear?
Like the equestrian things?
The equestrian, there you go. That's
well, that's the equestrian is the person, but I don't know what they call the boots if there's a special thing.
The little helmet.
Yeah, he's got to wear the helmet. What do you think about that, Rick?
Some chaps. I can see you running around the city in some chaps. Blowing that whistle.
Oh, that's great.
That would lead to a whole bunch of other problems.
I just think it's great that PETA has enough confidence in Ray that he should be a guy that if he sees some animal abuse going on in the streets of New York City, not that he's busy enough, that boom, he's got a whistle to blow. And does anybody come to the horse's aid? Or like you expected to be the one to go restore order?
I think it's all encompassing. I think if you blow the whistle, you're expected. Yeah, exactly. How am I stopping the horse?
No, but see, you don't see the majesty in this thing. Like, you guys have been together for how long doing the show? And like we have no idea this whole time that Ray is somebody who it's almost like a superhero.
We have brought this up on the air before.
But now we know it in action, right? So like a superhero who goes about his life, he looks like a normal person, but yet at the first sign of trouble, he has these powers that he can morph into something. You are the horse whistler.
Horse abuser, stop.
Yes. You're the horse whistler.
There's a new vigilante in New York City. The horse whistler.
On the mean streets of the mean city, there are horses. Some of them run unbridled. Some of them are abused. Then you must steer clear of the horse whistler.
Now you blow the whistle.
Blow the whistle and speak in the Batman voice.
Who are you?
I'm the horse whistler.
But then you got to keep blowing the whistle.
What is happening?
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.